You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to El Tel and John's La Liga Weekly. This week brought to you a day late because Real Madrid played on Monday night. And as media professionals, we're keen to maintain our big club bias in the hope of getting a few extra listeners. But hey, at least we're honest. And I'm not sure a 1-1 draw with Leganés will have the fans of Los Blancos flocking to their podcast devices. At least Benzema scored. He's great. I'm sure Terry will agree. Actually, the big game this weekend was the Seville derby. It was a special day for Hesse, who'd sadly been denied the opportunity to play in the Potteries derby against Port Vale in his Stoke City days. Such excitement was why he refused to pass the ball to anyone or kick it in the goal. They're both areas of potential development for the former wonder kid. Terry will also give us his verdict on the performances of Barcelona's players. You see where I'm going. If you switched on after kickoff, you might have thought you were watching a youth team game. And when you got a close-up of Ricky Puig, you'd have guessed it was the under-12s. Don't worry, I've checked, and he did have a parent and or guardian with him at the match. Poor old Manchester United didn't get to play a second-string team this weekend. That's the difference between England and Spain. Because, you see, in England, there are no easy games. Although I do wonder if we randomly selected 11 listeners to this podcast, they'd be able to beat Huddersfield. The teams at the bottom in Spain keep finding ways to throw away points. Bizarre goals, red cards, penalties, or in Rayo's case, not defending properly. In an act of scheduling confusion that La Liga would be proud of, we're here tonight to talk about the weekend's La Liga action, and tomorrow we're planning a midweek Champions League special. You can join us on Twitter. It's at @LaLiga_weekly. We've got a Facebook page, La Liga Weekly. Thank you to everybody who's liked that. So you go on Facebook, La Liga Weekly, find it. And I'm sticking up some headlines, some highlights that I'm...
Perfect.
I'm not editing them. I'm just I'm putting links to YouTube, basically. We're not on Instagram because we're too old. In short. Where should we start, Terry? Should we do the most up-to-date game, the Real Madrid game? Yeah. We're not getting...
not going to take long.
Yeah, and we're not getting a lot of Real Madrid traffic, it must be said, at the moment. Not many people saying much about it. Zengreen Yoda about transfers in a bit, but let's talk about the game. Leganés, their first ever points. Pellegrino's faced three different Real Madrid managers this season. So there's some novel points. It's quite hard to be too enthusiastic, isn't it, about Real Madrid?
Yep, and you can see that clearly from the performance levels of the players. Zidane gives the impression on the touchline that, of course, he wants the team to win. But I think when you look at the team selection, he's chopping and changing every game. There seems to be some casualties already that are emerging in terms of obviously being out of favour and not going to be there next season. One or two surprising ones. I'm surprised Llorente hasn't had more playing time. Surprised Mariano Diaz hasn't been on the bench in the last couple of games, which is he's kind of not getting the opportunity to show Zidane what he possibly could do. Marcelo is back in the team, so that means Sergio Reguilon, who was playing really well, he's not even making the bench now. So strange team selections. He's not giving himself the opportunity to add another striker to the starting 11 when they are in need of goal, because Mariano Diaz is not on the bench as a mixture of midfield players, defenders, but no obvious striker. So it's there's not a lot to talk about tonight's game. Real Madrid were okay. Mostly, if you look at the individual performances, most of them would be described as subdued and disappointing. I really hope that we're not in this position next season with one of the biggest teams in the world just running down a season and fulfilling fixtures, which is clearly what's happening, and everybody eagerly anticipating who's going to be bought and who's going to be sold, which is the main topic about Real Madrid at the moment.
Yes, that's supposed to keep us going in the summer. We're exactly. Using all our ammo up
there. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's their own doing. It's been a disastrous campaign domestically, at the very least. And the consequences now are the third manager and a whole group of players, the manager and the coaching staff, just cannot wait for the season to end.
So Karim Benzema, though, that I previewed it already, Terry, in the yeah. in the intro. What a great goal scoring run he's on. You must be a big fan of his.
No, I want to make it clear. I think he's a good player, really yeah. good centre forward. At times, very good. There's talk of this goal scoring run. There's talk of him getting 18 goals this season in La Liga, which comes across as half decent. It's the same amount as Cristian Stuani, who's playing for Girona down the bottom of the division. 16 of Benzema's goals this season have come against teams in the bottom half of the league, which is the current run that he's on. But the two goals he has scored against teams in the top half were the recent goal against Valencia and the one against Alaves. He scored 5 goals last season in total in the league, and I've got the teams that he scored against last season. Getafe, Malaga, Real Betis, top half, Alaves, and Las Palmas. So, in two seasons, yeah. he's got 3 goals against teams in the top half of the division. Now, I think if you put Raul de Thomas in the team,
yes,
who has yeah. got yeah. 14, and he's got 17, 18 teams above him in the division.
yeah.
So, it's... I kind of feel that they will be neglecting a position in the team that really does need strengthening. There was an article in Marca today. I came up with a stat a week ago, but there was an article in Marca today about the lack of goals against teams in the top 6, I think it was. Well, that's Benzema's job. I mean, Luis Suarez and Messi, they've got outstanding records. Suarez scores against Real Madrid. Messi scores consistently against Sevilla and Atletico Madrid and, of course, all the other team. We took the mickey sometimes out of Ronaldo, padding his stats against teams lower in the league, you know, lower half teams. But he then got 20 against the teams in the top half as well. So I think we have to look at the stats deeper than just 18 goals for Benzema, and that's satisfactory. It isn't. He should be scoring more if you're playing for Real Madrid, and he needs to be scoring in decisive league games. Those 3 goals against teams in the top half in the last 2 divisions is nowhere near good enough for Real Madrid.
Would you? I don't. He's not going anywhere, is he? There's too much.
I wouldn't get rid of him.
Yeah, there's too much else to do. Yeah,
they need another striker.
So, what level of striker are you getting in?
No, but one. It's been 10 years now since they signed a player in his position.
So you get of note, a number 9.
Yes, yeah. Go and get yeah. one of the best you can get
to play.
If it means Benzema's on the bench, yeah, or if it means that Benzema is playing alongside another centre forward. Because we hear people say he's good at dropping off and he's hard working. Yes, he is. I'm not going to just slaughter him, but I think when they're looking at positions for new players for next season, I do constantly see we don't need a centre forward. That Benzema is, you know, been the best player this season. And you have to look at those stats. You can't ignore 3 goals against teams in the top half of the division in 2 seasons. It's nowhere near good enough.
Zengreen Yoda on the pod, our season is over. I don't care about these games besides making us top 3. I care a bit. The players Madrid really need, we can't afford, as they're owned by the oil-producing countries. Neymar, Mbappe, De Bruyne, Sané, Sterling. Who does Terry think we can get to improve?
Well, I think once Real Madrid make it clear they are interested in a player, and that player, 99 times out of 100, will be keen to go to Real Madrid, then it makes it possible.
Yeah.
So then it comes down to finance. We know the issue with the stadium, which is it $750 million?
Yeah.
Being earmarked make it into a giant...
Has given me an explanation for this.
Tin can, yeah. I saw it described as, which actually, that actually looks exactly what it looks like. Yeah. Tin of tuna, that's what it was described as. It's a wonderful stadium as it is. It's not outdated. It doesn't need the amount of money that they're going to spend on it. Barcelona's does. The Camp Nou is a dated stadium. It's atmospheric and everything, but it doesn't match the Bernabeu in terms of how modern the Bernabeu is. So that's going to be earmarked. And we know full well that in projects like this, it always goes over budget. So $750 million will turn into $1 billion.
Yeah.
To renovate a stadium that, in my opinion, doesn't need $1 billion euros spent on it. So they are going to have to invest. Yeah. They're talking about raising 500 million, was it, or 300 million from selling players. That's not going to happen either.
No.
They are inflating the value of the players that they think they can sell for big money. And, of course, after a season like this, where they have to make lots of changes, they have to move out players. Some will be unpopular, some will be surprising, because they cannot carry 30 players. They have to keep the squad to a certain size. And it's really important how they manage that squad. I would suggest they have something like 18 senior players and 4, 5, 6 Sergio Reguilón paid people like that can supplement the squad. That Marcus Llorente would be a good option for that. I've heard the talk about him going out on loan. Zidane suggesting it might be best for him to go out on loan. Well, no, he should be staying or being sold. It's not in his interest to go out on loan again for another season. So there's massive decisions have to be taken at Real Madrid, unpopular decisions as well. There might be one or two leave that might surprise us because they're the ones that clubs will want.
Mm. Hazard's coming, isn't he?
It does appear so, doesn't it?
Very little denial from Chelsea.
Yep, and I, at the risk of upsetting all our Chelsea listeners, I kind of get why he would want to make the move now. Chelsea are not competing at where they were on a regular basis. Well, I was going to say some while ago, but it's not. But at the moment, they look a long way from being in a position to challenge for the title in the Premier League, for the Champions League. And he clearly feels that possibly the time is right to move on and challenge, go to a club where it's a new challenge, and he will be challenging for titles and Champions Leagues.
Yes, you would hope, wouldn't you? For the sake of La Liga, we could do with Real Madrid challenges. Shall we move on and talk about the Seville derby? Lee, has there ever been a Seville derby that hasn't been an absolute corker? The answer is yes. There are a couple of nil-nils here and there, but generally in recent years...
The atmosphere gives it an element anyway, doesn't it? So even if it is a nil-nil, it will be dramatic. The atmosphere lends itself to always appearing to be a cracking game. But in general, in recent seasons, there's been some fantastic games.
JR, desperately disappointing game for Jesse. Betis really need a goal scorer. Was he overhyped when he was breaking through? So he came through at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
He was playing for the Spain national teams at a young age, and he was the main goal scorer, centre forward. De La Feu, I think he was a contemporary of. Well, talk us through the derby, first of all, and Hesse's role in it.
Well, it's been surprised me, actually, how much playing time he's getting at Betis as the centre-forward. And I think there's always been an issue is, where's his best position? Real Madrid, majority of the time he played wide.
Yeah.
Las Palmas, I couldn't really tell you what position he played in. He wasn't the centre-forward. That was Kevin Prince-Boateng at the time was playing as the striker, or someone else was playing as the back-to-goal attacking player. So I'm not sure exactly still where his best position is.
Stokey was in the rehab room.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a... I think he was good as a young player at Real Madrid, but I think it does take a while when you lose momentum as a young player. So therefore, you're not playing on a regular basis. You're then playing for a team that's not very good in Las Palmas, and then you eventually find your way. You forget he's been at PSG and barely played.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to recover... When I talk about momentum, your confidence, your belief, your self-esteem. So I'm surprised he's been thrown in at deep end at Betis above Sergio Leon and Laurent Moron. So
is it possible,
he's the number one choice for Quique Setién.
As a young player, going to JL's question, if you're a promising young player, Real Madrid say, come and sign for us, you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
But can you sometimes be at too big a club? Or not? Because he wouldn't, if Hesse realistically, if he'd come through at Las Palmas, he would never have got a move to PSG.
No.
But PSG, in a sense, he wasn't quite good enough. He wasn't quite good enough for PSG. Real Madrid were probably happy to get the money for him, weren't they? I think.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, definitely. And his career has come to a halt. It's good to see him back. I feel that there's talent. He's young enough to recover his full talent. As I said, I'm surprised that at this stage of the season he's become the number one choice for Quique Setién as the centre forward.
Tell us about the bit of play where they break through. Vasilic comes out, the Sevilla keeper comes out.
It was a mistake by a defender, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Which allows him to break. Mm. He's down the left wing. The goalkeeper's out, caught in no man's land. There is an open goal, but he's a long way from goal, isn't he?
Yeah.
But there's also Sergio Canales, who's
It's not a totally open goal, is it? Because the defender is between him and the goal, isn't it? Yeah. And
so it was clear he had to...
Just roll it.
Roll it to Sergio Canales, who then has got a defender on the line, I think, to beat from with all the time in the world that he wants. It really was a sitter, and clearly the wrong choice from his side.
Yeah, but funny old game, isn't it?
There was no power on the finish, was he? Rolled it towards goal, and it was easily swept up and cleared away.
Because Sevilla, they didn't dominate. No one dominated. It was a very good end-to-end game, wasn't it? And
that's what made it so good, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was...
Because both teams...
Even a 3-1.
Could have won it.
I thought, Betis, there's still time.
Yeah.
And nearly proved to be the case in the end. But I see lots of tweets. I retweeted a couple of them of people who are in the stadium. One called Chris, one from Chris that was in the stadium. The atmosphere is we talk about every season while we've been doing the podcast, but it's almost, I looked at it and I thought, as a Spurs fan, I wish we could recreate that in the new stadium, something like that, you know? But it's unique anywhere. I don't know anywhere else in Europe where Sevilla and Betis fans, it's almost like watching Boca Juniors against River Plate. It doesn't look like anything else in La Liga either. Nothing in the Premier League comes anywhere near to recreating that atmosphere. It's unique in Europe. Tiny little pocket of green in the top corner. The Betis fans, the rest of the Sevilla supporters. You saw the response after the game. Sevilla going across to all four stands, Joaquin Caparrós. Clearly, it's been an emotional period for him. It was a brilliant game, a fantastic game of football. I thought Sevilla just shaded it.
Someone,
if I'm being honest,
said, it was on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, but it was a very good point, that Betis take more gambles with the way they play in their own defensive third than they do further up the pitch. They play quite conservatively.
100% right.
Yeah.
They're very cautious in the attacking third. And in the defensive third, they're more than willing to take the risk, you know, going back to the goalkeeper, and he tries to thread a pass in between two defenders and stuff. I totally agree with that observation.
Which
it's a really valid point.
Yeah.
They get to a certain period of part of the pitch where they all look scared of being the one to give possession away. So therefore, they're reluctant at times to try an incisive pass, a defence-splitting pass. When it does come off, I mean, they I'm not saying they never do it, but it's been a frustrating season, I would imagine, for Real Betis. Sevilla have regrouped. I didn't agree with the sacking, but it has galvanised the squad, and despite them losing to Valencia, all of a sudden, with Valencia losing to Rayo in the last game, Sevilla have stretched away. It's an interesting time for the teams that are challenging. It's a good solid race now. It's Sevilla, Getafe, Valencia, Athletic Bilbao are not out of the race for it yet. So it's certainly an advantage to Sevilla that they got all 3 points. You kind of forget the importance of the 3 points, other than the fact that the importance of bragging rights in the derby.
So last question before we move off the Seville derby from Lucas. Good Sevilla win. Not impressed by the names linked with the job. Who would you like to see at the helm?
Who were the names linked to? Di
Francesco. He mentions Blanc and Di Francesco. What level within
Di Francesco will come from Rome? Monchi's time in Roma. Be interesting to see if he's identified. If I was a Sevilla fan, I'd trust Monchi.
Yeah.
You have to. Mm. But we have. I always find it a little bit of a worry, particularly with Sevilla, if they go for someone who hasn't managed in La Liga. Probably referring back to Montella was an obvious mistake where he came in and didn't know the league, didn't know the players, and didn't know the sort of culture of the club. So it needs, I think it needs to be someone who's coached in La Liga, who knows the culture of the city, and then trust Monchi to do his stuff behind the scenes in bringing the right players in, better players than perhaps they've been bringing in the last 18 months, 2 years or so.
I just want them to have some stability. Just not change the whole squad.
Is it out of the question that Kapiros keeps it?
No, I don't think it is.
I
know he's ill,
but
and he's working for free, isn't he?
He's job in the media doing that, then. Is he working for free?
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah.
You're joking.
Yeah. Although he was working anyway, maybe it means no pay rise. Yeah, so maybe it means
he was director of football. He kind of sorted it.
Yeah, he can't have gone back down to zero, can he?
No, he made it fit his agenda as well, didn't he? Yes. He must have known Monchi was coming in to take his job, so he sacked Pablo Machin.
Yeah.
There was his last decision as director of football, and then thought, it's a vacant manager's job. Quick before Monchi gets in, I'll appoint myself as manager, then when Monchi comes in, he's got to sack me. So it's working all right for Serie A at the moment. Some good individual performances. We talked about Hesse Munir, could be considered a sort of similar type talent, couldn't he? That seems to have hit the ground running at Sevilla and taken over from Andre Silva.
So that was 3-2. A couple of really good goals on Munir, Sarabia and Vasquez, super strike. And then Betis, Lo Celso, I think we're now saying. So he's changed.
It changes on a weekly basis. Lo Celso, Lo Celso.
Yeah, and Teo with a good free kick.
He looks a player, doesn't he?
So some really good games, really good goals this weekend.
The Sarabia one was typical classic Sevilla, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quick lightning strike down the lightning pace, attack down the flank, cross into the box, players attacking from all angles, and Sarabia, lovely controlled volley at the far post. Lo Celso was I think he's a really good player. It was a brilliant game.
So Valencia, let's move on to the chasing pack. They beat Levante by 3-1 in another derby. Santimira got a couple, Soler, an own goal for Levante, and Gonzalo Guedes, who has attracted the interest of lots of people. Nick, is Guedes back to being the player of last season? He also wants to know if Santi Mina is Valencia's best striker. But let's talk about Guedes. He's had an operation, hasn't he? He had that issue with the groin area.
The pelvis, yeah.
Yeah, I've had that. You've had that as well, haven't you?
And Gilmore just, groins,
yeah,
mine
was
called.
Yeah, that's the one. Or a sportsman's hernia is the other one, isn't it? Same thing. But basically, you just can't. You can't move properly. You can't run properly.
Changing direction, I found, when I both of mine done one after the other. I played with the first one, eventually got it done. And in my rehab for that one, the other one went.
Right.
So it was, they were uncomfortable. You can't change direction as quick as you'd like. But for Gonzalo Guedes and Carlos Soler, I think they're on fire at the moment. And they're outstanding to watch. When you look at their progression, it's what happens with young players. You know, they burst onto the scene last season. I know Guedes had burst onto the scene previously before, but in terms of what we saw, we didn't see him at PSG, and now we've seen him at Valencia last season. He took the eye. With those two playing as well as they are, they've been really good to watch. Guedes he's got an interesting technique with his shooting as well.
It's like a topspin.
It is, yeah, and it's a funny angle between the knee and the ankle.
Very flexible.
It does it
ankle,
on every shot, doesn't it?
Yeah. So he gets the dip.
Yeah.
A bit sort of Roger Federer-esque, isn't it? Where the tennis players.
The first time I saw it was against Pettis last season from long range, and he did it, and it flew into the top corner. But he does it with a majority of his shots. It's unique. It's unusual. Him and Soler. But as I said, that's the progression of young players. They will go through patches where they both burst onto the scene. Their form dipped pretty much at the same time, probably for different reasons, with Guedes going to the World Cup, playing injured. But now that the both of them are on fire, it's the Valencia are really good to watch again, as they were for the majority of last season. They're missing Kondogbia. He's going to be a miss for the rest of the season. Pacini's going to be missing for a couple of weeks. They've got the advantage of 3-1 against Villarreal from the first leg of the Europa League, so they should be going through in that. On current form, I spoke to people about the Europa League last week on a radio interview, and I couldn't disagree. Arsenal and Chelsea were favourites, but on current form, I would say no. I'll tell you what, Valencia, in the form they're showing, have got every opportunity, every chance that they could win that Europa League again for Spain.
Let's have a look at the rest of the Champions League race, shall we? Valladolid 2, so we'll get onto the relegation later, and we'll discuss Barcelona later as well. So Valladolid 2, Getafe 2. That's an eventful old game, wasn't it? My point about the teams... I'm moving on to the teams at the bottom. They find ways of chucking points away.
Yeah, and spotted down there.
Yeah, yep. Because it's a relatively even league. Cause sometimes the teams at the bottom, you think they'd be down the bottom. No matter, it's not look that they're down the bottom. But football's like that, isn't it? Sometimes the best... You can obviously... Man City are obviously better than Huddersfield. Barcelona are obviously better than Huesca, despite what happened this weekend. But quite a lot of the time, there's not much to call between teams. And so it's stuff like Valladolid managing not to win that game.
Yep.
And you think, well, you messed that up, didn't you? But they did, and a 2-2 draw against Getafe.
And they've done that for quite a while now. The teams that are in, that are sliding down the league, it's not great times being poor form. So Levante, Girona, Valladolid are plummeting down the division. I totally agree with you. That's why the teams are at the bottom. We look at Huesca pretty much every week. You think they're in the game. They lose 2-1. They lose 3-2. They draw when they should have won. And it's been that type of season this year in the La Liga. It's a pleasant surprise, I have to be honest, because in the last couple of seasons, we've had some really poor teams that Benzema scores against. No, we've had some really poor teams. There's been no relegation battle. There is now, from Girona down. But it was tough on Friday at the weekend, I thought. I mean, they got opened up by an unbelievable strike from Aaron Barry early in the game, and then to be undone by controversial penalty the 94th minute. They messed up. The big incident for me was the Waldo, is it? Rubio?
Yes.
You pronounce it Waldo Rubio, is it? The offside goal.
Because
they're through on goal.
Yeah.
It's two against the goalkeeper.
Yeah, just had to sweaty it.
If you haven't seen it, yeah. One player through, just the goalkeeper to beat, and he's got Rubio to his left.
Yeah.
So the player can
one thing you don't
shoot
do.
And score, or square it to his teammate for a tap-in, which he chose to do, but his teammate went offside.
Yeah.
I knew it as soon as he did it.
Yeah.
As soon as he squared it, I thought, he's offside. And with VAR, it's going to be seen.
Yeah.
And he just went ahead of the ball. And it was so... That's a good example of what you're saying about they messed up. But it was a good performance from Valladolid against Getafe. They were fighting for Champions League. But a point doesn't really do Valladolid. Not when you concede in the 94th minute.
No, so Huesca have got 25. Rayo Vallecano, 27. We'll do them next. And then the jump up to Valladolid at 31 in the last relegation place. Celta, 32. Levante, 33. Villarreal, 33. Girona, 34. So that's the relegation battle.
Yep.
Athletic, 3. Rayo Vallecano, 2. Lads says, how good can Iñaki Williams be? Seems in excellent form at the moment. Even if his goals this week were a bit fortunate. Deflected one early on. Now, Mark Hurst. Mark, a friend of ours, a Sky Sports statistician, Rayo Vallecano. He was at the game.
He's
a mad football fan. Is Mark, and he even goes to Torquay games occasionally. That's how dedicated he is. But he'll go off to, because he's got so much money. he'll go and watch a game in Germany and have a weekend there. So he's in Spain this weekend. Rayo so poor defensively. Athletic should have won it by 5. If you look at the second goal, the Rayo players seem to form a square along the touchline and halfway line. Nobody in the centre of the pitch to pass to gave it away and conceded. So if those of us who've been carefully watching Paco Gémez for many years will recognise that kind of thing. So in a sense, even though this game, again, you could look at this and
close.
Say Rayo threw it away.
Yeah.
Mark's point is that actually 5-1 would have been a more accurate reflection.
Yeah, and they got the last goal of the game right at the end. Then they railed to Thomas with a late one, so they turned the 3-1 into a 3-2, which means we might look at it and think, they just got beat by the odd goal. But there was other chances there for Athletic. They missed a penalty as well, Rael Garcia.
Yeah.
Athletic were in really good form, and you can't rule them out, you know.
What a run. Yeah.
They've gone from relegation issues to Europa League. If their form continues, it's they're 6 points behind Sevilla.
Yeah,
Is it out of the question with the run they're on? It's going to be tough.
No,
it's not impossible.
Chucking points away, aren't they?
Yeah, six games to go. They'd probably have to win five of them to have any chance to close that gap up. Not impossible, probably unlikely, but even if they got Europa League now, from where they were when Garitano took over, is remarkable. Yep. But Rayo, I look at a gap now. I think Valladolid, Celta, Levante, Villarreal close, aren't they? 31 to 33 points. Girona, 34. Rayo on 27. Huesca on 25. I can't see those two teams closing the gap with... You look at Celta, their form has improved slightly. Villarreal, their form has been good of late, but it was an important result at the weekend. Levante are a concern. They're not getting results. I think it's the last eight, five defeats, three draws, 3 points from 24. Good example of where you're going in the wrong direction there. And can they turn that around? They haven't got enough points yet, that's for sure. So there's obvious contenders now, isn't there? Girona, Villarreal, Levante, Celta, Valladolid. I do feel now that Rayo and Huesca have gone.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's good. Well, sorry to those teams, but it's a good relegation battle.
It's a shame for Huesca at the weekend because they've won season, their first ever season in the top division, and they get Barcelona reserves turn up.
We'll get onto them in a bit because we need to do a break, and then we need to save something to talk about afterwards. Last questions about the relegation battle, other than Huesca. Aidan, can we send Terry over to Villarreal to teach them how to finish? Although they got the result, they should have put it to bed in the final 10 minutes. Matthew, he's saying your relegation prediction is looking good. Actually, I think you've already given us a summarize. The current bottom three.
It was the three promoted teams, wasn't it?
Yes, you did say that. But you have also said Girona are falling, and they are falling, aren't they?
Yeah.
So Villarreal won 1-0, early goal. Chukwueze, what do you make of him?
He's lovely to watch.
Yeah.
Really, really good. He's changed already from a right winger to centre forward.
Yeah, teenager still, isn't he?
Yeah, and he looks the real deal and deserves his place on merit. Villarreal are a better team with him in it at the moment. Possibly a strength of his is he's young. And he hasn't been bogged down by the pressure that we've seen from the tense play from the VRL players who clearly started the season off anticipating being in race for a European spot, being constantly criticised week in, week out, rightly so. That pressure, he's come in halfway through the season. There's a young player with it all to prove, no fear, and he's proving to be a key player for VRL.
If you heard a little sort of digging noise a few minutes ago, it was Facebook getting in touch with me about the La Liga Weekly page. Yes, so they get onto you.
Oh, there's a sacking.
Yes, no, they're in your ear, Facebook, all the time, aren't they? Leave you alone. Anyway, let's have a little break. We'll come back and talk about Barcelona. So let's look up who played for them this weekend, shall we?
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome back. Let's talk about Barcelona, shall we? It's not often Barcelona are this far down the agenda, is it? But then if you're going to put out a team like that, then I'm afraid that's what happened. So Huesca 0, Barcelona 0. So Barcelona's, I think they had 92,000 and then 74,000 for the away game at Manchester United, and then 7,332, big crowd for Huesca. But as you said before the break, they were up against some players who... it would take a hardcore fan to have picked that Barcelona team. Andrew wants to know impressions of players who played against Huesca this weekend. Never heard of them, mate. I can't do impressions of them. So Puig, Wague, Shane, what positives would you take from Barca B, as he calls it, the draw against Huesca? I'd like to hear Terry's assessment of Wague...
Todibo,
yes. Yeah, and Murillo and Puig. So...
I think Murillo and Kevin Prince-Boateng come into a different category in that they clearly won't be at the club next season.
Yeah.
Kevin Prince-Boateng, I'm not sure he'd have been in a Barcelona player in his prime, let alone at the veteran stage. His performance wasn't particularly great, but I'm not on here to hammer a player that's...
We didn't get him signing in the first place, and nothing since then has suggested that there was any real point.
And Murillo, I think, was a loan signing, but I can't see him staying next season. So they're a different category to the rest. It's a Stegen in goal, wasn't it? Umtiti back from injury and Dembele back from injury. So that would have been good news for Barcelona. Umtiti's been a constant battle all season regarding fitness. Dembele was okay. I don't think the issue with those two players in particular was their performance levels. It was just getting match fitness. Playing time, and then we come to the rest of the team, where we have to mention some of the players' names. Ricky Puig, that's how you pronounce it. I think we trust Albert Ferreira's knowledgeable on Catalan pronunciations. He just looks your typical Barcelona player, midfield player. There was elements of, oh, this could be, is this the new big thing, little big thing, because he's only small, 5'6". Quick feet, good use of the ball. They have a DNA, the Barcelona youngsters. Alenya and Puig in particular look different to Arturo Vidal and other midfield players that have joined Barcelona in recent seasons. Artur has picked it up quickly. But it's just that it's hard to describe. They know when to play the ball one touch, two touch. They know when to work their way out of trouble. They know the type of passes their teammates like to receive. And you can see they're steeped in the tradition of what Barcelona are always looking for from a midfield player. Ricky Puig was, it's going to be a household name. I thought he was the pick of the bunch. And you can see 19 years old, as I say, he's quite diminutive. He's going to need to get a little bit stronger. Playing in Barcelona B team, which is in the third tier of Spanish football, was a big jump to playing against experienced pros like Huesca at the weekend. So he was good. Todibo is a player they signed in the January transfer window. He's French. He's a teenager as well. He looked solid at the back in a back three with Umtiti and Mario. His performance looked more than adequate, and you can see why Barcelona have signed him. Moussa Wagoué, He played right-sided wing-back, because they actually played three at the back, didn't they? Malcolm as a left wing-back, which was an interesting experiment as well. Another useful exercise, I would imagine, from Valverde. And it actually looked like he picked up the position, to be honest. Wagoué did the same job on the right side, and he didn't look out of place in that game at the weekend. He's slightly older at 20. Carlos Alenya is 21, and I think by and large, I was slightly disappointed with Huesca, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I thought the opportunity. This is a team that's never played together, never. They didn't really test the Stegen in goal. He had the afternoon off as well. For a team that's been playing well, fighting relegation. It was almost like they treated even that team from Barcelona with a little bit too much respect. And it was there for the opportunity for Huesca. I'm actually, in a way, glad that they didn't win and take all 3 points, because I think then you have the question of the other teams that are down in the relegation issue that have had to play Barcelona's full team majority of the season. And then also Huesca get to play against the B team. So I think it was satisfactory in the end that it was a draw.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think, look at the draw when you play a team, don't you? Who's fit, who's not fit and all of that.
So, I mean, the same could happen again. If Barca continue in the Champions League and they wrap the league title up, then teams that were looking at the start of the season thinking, oh, God, crikey, we got Barcelona like the second to last game. You might be playing that team.
Mm-hmm. Hamsey, just put this a point, I think. Valverde wouldn't have dreamed of rotated like that. I'll get it right. Did Barca's unbeaten run last season hurt us, as Valverde wouldn't dream of rotating like he did for the game? Now the whole squad is rested, freshly rotated. Dembele got minutes under his belt. Cameron wants to know about Coutinho's role. We discussed Coutinho a lot. I think we'll save this one. We're going to talk. We're going to do a bonus podcast about Barcelona in the Champions League after they've played Manchester United.
Exactly.
I'm going to practice using remote technology. Wow. So we're moving into the 21st century, everybody.
That's a good point, though. He didn't do it last year because they nearly had that record, didn't they?
Yeah.
And players learn, coaches learn, even at Valverde's age, he'll still learn by his mistakes. That's why managers should, in theory, get better the longer they're at a club or the longer they're in the job. Simeone's a good example, 6 jobs before Atletico Madrid. So he learned by his lesson last year. The managers that don't succeed are the ones that keep making the same mistakes. So you can understand where he was coming from last year. It was setting a record that's never been done before. It was his first season as manager of Barcelona. He hadn't won a league title in Spain before. So I think he's got the balance right this season. The win against Atletico meant that he could do that this weekend. And he's right to do so.
Right, Real Sociedad 1, Eibar 1. Notable for a very early goal by Juanmi at 12 seconds.
Like, incredible.
It was
a plan as well. Look, they passed back from kickoff, long ball forward. Eibar switching off, not ready, and go after 12 seconds.
But then,
excellent stuff.
In a weekend of excellent goals, Joan Jordan got an equaliser, so that worked out all right. And another derby this weekend, that one in the Basque Country. And it just leaves, Espanyol 2, Alaves 1. Alaves tailing off, aren't they, at the end of the season?
Even for regarding the Europa League spot, it's going to be tough for them, just purely because of their form.
Yeah.
We can't criticise them, though. It's been another outstanding season.
Yeah.
Alaves, who's the Espanyol, makes them safe.
Yep.
Been hard work.
They'll finish 13th.
Brilliant season.
As they always do.
Yep, they had a brilliant start to the season, didn't they? One or two opportunities to go top of the league in the first 10, 12 weeks of the season, but tailed off. But they're going to be safe. They're okay now.
And Celta Vigo lost to Atletico. It's what it's come to, Atletico. You're last because, there's not much to play for them. There's plenty to play for Celta. No Iago Aspas. Griezmann, and yet another good goal. Morata got a goal. But notably, as James points out, why do people rarely mention Oblak alongside De Gea when discussing the best keepers in the world? Been overlooked far too long, in my opinion, and deserves much more recognition. He made an absolute couple of blinders in this game, didn't he, Oblak?
It was a weird game because Aspas, in my opinion, didn't get booked on purpose to miss the Atletico game to then be available to play in so-called easier matches or more likely winnable games for Celta. He just scored, took his shirt off, got the booking. He would have been really useful at the weekend because Atletico were missing their four first-choice central defenders. Tony Moya came in, Francisco Montero came in to play alongside Juan Fran and Felipe. They did well, but there were opportunities for Celta and they were denied by Oblak. I hope I have not been one of those that never mentions Oblak. I
think we have.
I think we have. And
I don't think he's blaming us for it.
I take the point. Yeah. It's Oblak Slovenian, doesn't get international recognition possibly. De Gea's playing for Spain. Neuer plays for Germany. More high profile international teams probably goes some way to making a player sound a little bit more sexier than Jan Oblak that plays for Slovenian. I think he's in the top 4 or 5 goalkeepers in the world.
Who's better then?
I don't know who's number one.
Yeah,
But I think if he picks a handful,
I think he's as good as anyone.
I think if he picks a handful of the best five goalkeepers currently in the world, he's most people would surely put him in that.
I think they would.
He kept it. Another clean sheet for Atletico at the weekend.
Right, we'll leave it there. So thank you very much for listening. Do tell your friends. Do go on iTunes. Thank you to everybody who has reviewed it. The iTunes reviews are nice. We need more of those because it gets it higher up the rankings and more people will listen and all of that. So retweet for us. That would be good. Go on the Facebook page. Tell your friends. And then join us again because we're doing a bonus one. We'll see how Barcelona... We won't preview it because by the time you listen to this, that game could be on or over. So let's not make fools of ourselves.
Looking forward to that game. Yeah,
It should be a good game. So enjoy that game and we'll be back to talk about it very soon. So thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning.
Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.